I'm your host, Jennifer Han, and welcome to the Brexit Podcast. The EU has recently revealed plans to offer free Europe-wide travel to all teenagers in the Union in the form of a month-long Interrail ticket. The hope is that this will counter the growing sense of nationalism and instead create a sense of belonging after June's referendum result. That's why this week I thought we'd talk to my good friend and political activist and student Gesine Wittrich, who's currently on an Erasmus exchange to Paris, to find out where she sees the value of these kinds of cultural exchanges and what UK students might be missing out on in the future. She also lets us in on how the results were received in her home country of Germany and how the far-right party AfD, or Alternative for Germany, mirrors the rise of, for example, UKIP in the UK and the Front National in France. If you enjoy the show, please do rate us on your podcast platform of choice, and while you're there, you might as well subscribe so you can get all upcoming episodes sent straight to your phone. If you want to suggest future guests or just say hi, you can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast.
Hi, Gesine. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jenny. I'm pretty glad that I can do this interview with you.
Oh, thank you for joining us. I want to jump right in by asking, you were at home in Berlin when the referendum results came out, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What was your personal reaction to it?
I was actually really surprised. I can remember that one day before or the week before I was talking to friends, and I was always saying, like, nah, I can't imagine that is going to happen, because I was always looking at it as a political science student, seeing that the European Union is actually really important, especially economically for Great Britain or for the Europe, for Europe as a whole. So I was actually really surprised that it happened. I guess I underestimated the power of the UKIP campaign, maybe, because in Germany you didn't see it, how it was going on and how they motivated the people to vote for Leave. So I guess that's why I was surprised about it. Yeah.
So when you were talking to your friends about it, so were people in general very aware of the results, or did it pass people by mainly? What were the reactions?
The reaction was in general very similar. Everybody was actually kind of shocked, and I think nobody really expected it. Also, in the German media, there was a consent about, or they were not in favor of the Brexit at all, I had the feeling. So everybody was shocked and surprised. And kind of sad, maybe, I think. And also in front, before the vote, there was a lot in German media kind of promoting not to leave. And there were headlines like, please don't leave the European Union and stuff like this. So, yeah, I think that it was a really big consent, and not many people were in favor of it, actually, from what I heard.
Do you think that's because you're in Berlin and you're kind of in this big city, kind of similar to London, which obviously voted to remain? Do you think people in smaller towns had different views on it, or do you think it was quite a general thing throughout Germany that people were surprised?
That's a good question. I guess I do live in kind of a bubble living in Berlin, and it's hard to tell if rural areas maybe were have a different opinion, especially because the big media companies all pointed into the same direction. So I can imagine that in the rural areas people thought differently because of it, also because there's a lot of things going on in the more right-wing movement saying, like, the media is controlled, it's kind of lying. And I guess that this consent about the Brexit also played into this narrative, kind of, because people were again seeing, like, yeah, they all say the same, they all say it's shit, or stuff like this. So I can imagine that it's going on, but I don't actually know, because I don't have a lot of contact with rural areas. So there's a big gap, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, of course, as you kind of touched on right now, there's currently quite a rise in nationalist rhetoric, I suppose, throughout the EU, with, like, the AfD, or the Alternative für Deutschland, which is a far-right party in Germany, gaining a lot of ground in recent elections. And then obviously, as you said earlier, Brexit here was peddled a lot by UKIP. So do you think there are some perils between developments here in Germany, not here in Germany, with you in Germany, and the UK's decision to leave the EU?
Yes, I guess there's big parallels also, not only in Germany, but, for example, in France, it's a similar development. I think this is mainly because it's kind of, I think Brexit is a symptom, and the rise of the alternative for Germany is kind of a symptom of a loss in trust, maybe in politicians, in media, in banks, in the so-called establishment. So in the usual how society worked, like kind of, I have a teacher at Sciences Po who really points into that direction. He showed us polls, how in the last, I don't know, 6 years, maybe 7 years, the distrust really has risen onto now about 70% of people who don't trust politicians anymore, or parties, or anybody basically, who is connected to the elite and the establishment. So I feel like people kind of, a lot of people see that there needs to be a change. And so the new change is kind of only presented in this right-wing movement. There's no real alternative from the left. Well, maybe in Spain, for example, or Italy, I guess, also, or in Greece, but not in Germany, France, and Great Britain. So I feel like those people, those right-wing movement populists, kind of gain those voters who distrust the main established parties, and yeah, with easy solutions, they catch them. They say, point to immigrants, for example, in Germany a lot, as the reason for their being left behind, maybe. Yeah, so I guess mainly it's people who don't really profited from globalization and the neoliberal politics, maybe in the last decade, or they were rather left behind. So I guess those voters can be now gained by the populist movement, by opportunists, basically, who use them for their own gain, I would say. That's the parallel I see. Yeah.
And there's a lot of debate going on in the UK why people wanted to vote to leave. And undoubtedly, some of it is just a general dissatisfaction with the EU. Do you think that's kind of cropping up in Germany, or maybe where you are in France now as well?
In France, definitely, yes. I think the Front National, they also gain a lot of voters at the moment, and they are really against the EU too, and they're really in favor of what's going on in the UK right now. I feel like I saw yesterday, for example, that Marine Le Pen, the leader of the Front National, was really in favor of the speech of Theresa May, saying stuff like, I don't know, you're not, if you feel like a world citizen, you're not a citizen of anywhere, kind of like a pretty, really right-wing rhetoric, nationalist rhetoric. And in Germany, I'm not sure. I don't feel that the EU is debated much. I really have the feeling here it goes, or like back in Germany, it goes more that people are pointing fingers at immigrants, and especially at Muslims or Islam in general, not so much towards the European Union. They don't see it as a reason for bad things so much. But that could maybe change if the general, I don't know, if they need something new and immigrants is not enough anymore. I don't know. At the moment, not so much.
Yeah. And you are currently on your Erasmus exchange in Paris, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you liking it? How is it?
I enjoyed it a lot, actually. It's really cool. Better than I expected. So I really met so many people in the first few weeks. And it really makes me happy. I'm feeling, I don't know, more independent maybe now. And I speak a lot of English, but also can improve my French. So I do have a great time here.
And obviously with the UK leaving the EU, British students might not be able to take advantage of this kind of cultural exchange, these opportunities in the future. What do you think you personally have gained from this experience, and what sort of UK students be missing out on?
Well, I think you would miss out on meeting different cultures, meeting people from around the world who can tell you a lot of stories, what is going on in their countries, actually. And you see a lot of differences, but also, of course, you see how much it's kind of the same. And it's really good to see that you still get along really well. And have a lot of fun together. So I think that could be something you really miss out on. Also, of course, the Erasmus program is a really good program. It's really simple to apply. It gives you money regardless of whether you have a lot of money or not. So it actually closes a bit the gap of incomes. It could, maybe not in Paris, but in other cities or in other parts of Europe. I think that's it.
And I'm quite curious, I've personally, maybe by virtue of the fact that I'm obviously quite young, a millennial as you are, and that we both grew up in Germany, which is not that much of a, at least it didn't used to be much of a nationalist country. There didn't used to be a lot of patriotism, just as I think a result of World War II. So I've always personally felt a lot more, I suppose that sounds cheesy, but an EU citizen. I've always identified as, I wouldn't say I'm proud of being German necessarily. I just feel, I feel like I belong more to this block of nations rather than just one nation. Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, I do feel that a lot, actually. And it's kind of weird for me now also being in Paris, because everybody asks you where you're from. And I always feel like I have to say Germany because I'm from Germany. I would like to say more that I am from Berlin, but I kind of feel weird, you know, saying this city, the capital. I don't want to be like this, oh yeah, I'm from Berlin, I'm so much better, or I don't know. So I always say Germany, but I don't feel as a German. I don't know. People ask me so much about Germany, like, how is it there? How are people? What do they do? And I'm like, I don't know. I live in Berlin, so I don't know about Germany as a whole. It's really weird for me, actually. So, but here it's a lot talk about countries, and people talk a lot about the countries they are from and what is going on there. And I feel that in Germany it's really different, or maybe just in Berlin. I don't know.
How do you think it's different?
In Germany it's not a big thing to talk about your patriotism or your country so much. But maybe, as I said, I think that is also a very Berlin thing, as we can see now in the west of Germany, or especially in eastern Germany or southern Germany, it's really changing. And people want to identify with their country again. They want to identify as Germans. And they don't want to lose this identity, especially. So there's a huge movement, actually a huge nationalist movement going on. So maybe this was kind of a wrong impression maybe we had. Maybe a really bubble being in Berlin and where there's Turkish immigrants a lot, or in general, a lot of immigrants, a lot of people coming from all over the world to the city. So we never had this patriotism, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose that's kind of exactly the same issue as here, right? With London voting to remain and having so many different people, and just sort of, I mean, everyone here, I worked a night shift during referendum day, and the next morning, really early in the morning, I just saw all these city people coming into work, and everyone had a dazed look on their face. Everyone was so shocked that it actually happened, because in London, you're so isolated from opinions in other parts of the country, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same. I think this is like a problem with growing gaps in the societies in Europe at the moment, or at least in Western Europe. There's a huge gap between richer and poorer, which manifests itself in richer people going into the cities and poor people being pushed into rural areas. And so I think this division is really a problem, actually, and should be addressed. And we feel it more in terms of city versus rural area, but it's going on, I think, in more than that, also in education and opportunities in life. So I think that, Brexit and all this stuff is kind of a symptom of this separation in society.
Well, on that cheery note, I think that's all I wanted to talk about. Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
Nope, I don't think so.
Amazing. Think well, thank you again so much for coming on, and have a great day.
Thank you too. Have a great day.
And that's it for today. I really hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please do feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at brexitpodcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Paul, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin McLeod.